Hello, everyone in construction land. Welcome to our podcast, Constructive Conversations. I'm your host, Eddie Thompson, and I'm joined today with what I consider one of the AI experts in the construction field, Nate Fuller out of Oregon. How you doing, Nate?
Doing great, Eddie. Thanks for having me.
No problem. I've first seen Nate at the CFMC. It's the AGC-CFMA joint conference in Las Vegas back in November. I got to sit in on his session with his panel, and I thought this was just a great, great topic to bring to our audience, as it's going to have lots of applications throughout the construction industry. Whether you've seen it now, you're going to see it eventually. So, Nate, tell us about yourself, you know, your background. I'll just kind of give our audience a little bit of what I know. You've had 15 years in civil engineering and construction management and tech leadership and such. And then you were also part of the, you helped create the Bechtel Office of Innovation. And you can talk more about that. But currently you are the founder of Placer Solutions. And it's a construction management tech firm that's helping people. You're helping guide and lead people through this AI evolution, pretty much. Yeah. So go ahead and tell everybody about yourself.
Yeah, that's a good high level summary. You know, so I've spent my career in construction. I spent close to 10 years at Bechtel, like you mentioned. The majority of that time actually wasn't with the Office of Innovation. The majority of that time was out on big Bechtel projects all over the world. Working in project management and construction management teams on everything from oil and gas projects to mining and metals and power and, you know, some of the big mega projects all over the globe. So got a really good handle on kind of the AEC value chain, EPC value chain in the case of Bechtel, but just construction processes and construction workflows in general. And then around 2016, like you mentioned, helped to build out the Office of Innovation at Bechtel. And, you know, back then it was really early days for a lot of this technology stuff in construction. And I think, you know, looking back, the industry was caught pretty flat-footed by a lot of these emerging technologies that were coming down the pipeline. So, you know, a lot of the things we take for granted now, like AI, you know, back then it was machine learning. But now I think AI is kind of the all-encompassing term that we use to describe some of these systems that are, you know, predictive and generative. Machine learning was new. You know, we're looking into augmented reality, mixed reality. IoT was a big buzzword back then. So, you know, a lot of it was just kind of demystifying these technologies, cutting through the hype in a way, and understanding how these emerging technologies apply to real world use cases and applications in construction. And my focus has been and has always been on kind of field applications, because I think that's where the rubber hits the road in construction. And so at Bechtel, I spent a lot of time out on site, out on projects all over the Bechtel universe, just talking to project managers, superintendents, area managers, understanding, kind of getting an understanding of their understanding of technology, but also understanding and mapping kind of these technology solutions onto real world pain points out there in the industry. And so, you know, again, that was really early days. 2016 seems like ages ago now, but it really wasn't. And I think we as an industry have learned a lot since then. And I've since leaving Bechtel, you know, founding Placer Solutions, have been working with a lot of tech startups, looking at product road mapping for the construction industry, but also collaborating with a lot of just world-class construction companies and helping them understand, similar to what we did at Bechtel, how to get these tools and applications baked into their business.
Yeah, one thing, one of my takeaways from that conference that we were both at was in the exhibition hall, that just the number of contractor service providers that was using AI for, whether it was in their payment process or in their contract review process. And you know, at first I didn't see the applications to it because it was just new to me. But the more I've researched in having you as a guest and just for my own edification, the possibilities just seem limitless out there. And I will take a quote from, I downloaded one of your all's publications off of Placer Solutions website, the Artificial Intelligence in Construction, Volume 2. And there was a gentleman, Mark Trednick from Haskell, their CIO, who said, "This is something that is not going to go away. It is big enough that we need to pay attention to it." And I was like, that couldn't be any more true. It's not going to go away as much as some people would like for it to go away. And I told you that my two boys, they call me an old head, just because I'm graying, and you know I'm the dad, and they think I'm not tech savvy. But you know, there's a lot of people out there that don't want to change. Change is always a pain point for people, but I think as fast as it's evolving, you know, you're going to have to look to change and not be left on the sidelines on this.
Yeah. And I think the construction industry has a lot of old heads in it, right? Folks who, for better or for worse, kind of are stuck in their ways. And, you know, they're used to kind of delivering on projects like they have been for the past 20 years. And change is hard. It's not just in construction. Change is hard. This is a technology that's going to impact every industry on the planet, not just construction. So every industry is changing right now.
Mm-hmm. And we are seeing in construction and a lot of professions, the baby boomers that are looking to retire, and you know the new generation coming into leadership and ownership, and they're going to be more on board with this, and I can see it taking off. But you had mentioned that you went out into the field a lot to see the practical applications of this. So what are the key areas within construction where AI has the most potential for impact?
Yeah, I think, you know, if we look at AI, and when I say AI here, I'm largely referring to large language models. So these are things like ChatGPT, Google Gemini, Claude, Anthropic Claude. So tools like that. Because I think that's kind of what we're, you know, when we think of AI now, that's generally what we're talking about. But, you know, there's just a lot of just day-to-day applications where folks are just integrating it into their daily workflows. And it's one of those technologies that's just really transformative in the way that it has such broad applicability across a lot of different functions. And so it's not going to change one thing in construction. It's going to change entire systems of operating within construction. And I think, you know, history shows us that, you know, when software solutions like this come along in the construction industry, you know, there's kind of subtle changes that add up to really big changes. And I think that's what's going to happen with large language models. And I often think of it in terms of something like Microsoft Excel. Okay, this will be really, I think, relevant to your audience, you know. You know, Excel, it became really widely adopted in the accounting industry, and people thought that accountants were going to be replaced by this. But, you know, instead, I think what ended up happening was really at the end of the day, Excel automated a lot of the repetitive manual tasks, like, you know, balancing ledgers or doing complex calculations. And it freed up these accountants to focus on higher value activities like things like strategic planning and financial analysis. And so it actually made the role more valuable, not less valuable, right? And I think the same thing is happening with tools like ChatGPT. And what's really interesting about ChatGPT is that it's targeted at, everyone thought AI was going to come and take all the manual jobs, you know, but really large language models, their core use and their core application is in field non-manual work. And so it's things like contract administration, it's things like compliance, market research. You know, something simple like toolbox talks. I love giving the toolbox talk example because I think it's one of the kind of more straightforward slam dunk use cases in the industry. But anyone who's been on a construction site, you know, you have a toolbox talk. It's kind of a safety meeting, right? The guy comes out on site and you have a 5-minute chat about, you know, here's the safety topic of the day. Let's discuss it. You know, and safety managers would spend 20 minutes, you know, every day at the end of the day putting together a toolbox talk for the next day. ChatGPT can put together a very good toolbox talk in like a matter of seconds. And so it's little applications like that, those little 20-minute activities that we spend a lot of time historically in the industry working on, that these large language models are going to work their way in on a kind of a systemic level and really just change the way we operate as a whole industry.
Yeah, I can totally see that. I've seen the application myself in creating memos or outlines, just the ease of use and how quick it just creates something for you that would typically take, you know, a couple hours to put all the thought and the editing and the language into yourself. And you're right. It's when I started in public accounting, and I'm dating myself, but everything was paper. And I think I maybe told you this in our initial discussion, but it went from paper to electronic, and of course, the first thing you think about is this is going to take away work, take away our jobs. But all it did was give us the ability to do more. So it didn't really didn't really reduce the amount of work. We just do more of what we did in that capacity.
Yep.
And you talked about this, the large language models. It improves the efficiency of construction projects in both the terms of time and cost. It speeds it up, allows you to do things quicker. And there's always fact checking, I guess, that I do at least anytime you use ChatGPT. But there are also applications with project management and resource applications. And you said, like you said, the toolbox talks, you can create your safety talks pretty quickly. What are like the inherent risks of that when it comes to having to fact check any of this?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. And actually, it's part of the presentation that I give out there in industry at events like CFMA. And, you know, basically the risks boil down to the way in which these large language models are operating and the way they're trained. And so, you know, I often give, a lot of times I'll give the example, if you're an expert in something, like you're like a, you know, either a master level expert or you've spent a career in a certain field and you just know a lot about it, I challenge you, just go ask ChatGPT questions about it, because chances are what you'll see is that it's going to sound very plausible on the surface. But if you really kind of dig into it, you realize as an expert that it's, you know, missing some nuance here or there that's actually really important to the question at hand. And so that's the, you know, that's one of the risks, is it just kind of homogenizes the answers and the responses. And the part of the reason it does that is because it's telling you what it thinks you want to hear. So the way these large language models are trained, and there's nothing magic about them, and I talk about this in the presentation, you know, there's nothing magical about these large language models. Really, all that's changed in the past 5 years is just the amount of computational power available to churn through what amounts to internet scale levels of data, right? And so these models are trained to effectively guess the next word in a sequence of words by looking at the context of the question you ask, but also the sentence and the words that are around it. And so the big risk is just, it's going to try to tell you what it thinks you want to hear. And sometimes that's just wrong. And so you have to be pretty vigilant, honestly, especially if you're not an expert in something. You know, you need to be pretty vigilant about what it's telling you, and you need to be kind of really dial in your use cases and applications towards things that are more conducive to the skill set that is a large language model. And what that means is that, you know, these models really excel at generating new, unique content. They're not the best at asking it, you know, to essentially infer or provide innovative responses to things that that aren't within its training data set, just to put it that way. So yeah, you just have to be kind of vigilant about it. You have to double check it, take it with a grain of salt, just understand, you know, it's like a lot of things these days with machine learning. You know, you go on Facebook and the Facebook algorithm's trained to feed you what it thinks you want to see. It's kind of similar with ChatGPT. Just like keep that in mind as you're reading it. It's like, okay, this sounds plausible, but you know, it might be missing X, Y, or Z. And then you can kind of actually prod it a little bit more and ask it, you know, to kind of clarify certain topics or dig into certain areas a little bit more and just give it a little bit more color. So it's kind of that augmenting. It's more of an augmenting, not replacing type of thing. At the same time, and I say this in the presentations as well, I think if we're being honest with ourselves, there is going to be kind of this just blanket democratization of just knowing stuff. Like just knowing stuff, you know, on a construction project isn't going to be much of a differentiator anymore. And it's going to be less about being a knowledge worker and more about being a knowledgeable worker. So it's going to be less about knowing stuff, because ChatGPT can effectively knows everything on the internet. And so that's easily accessible, but it's how we leverage that information on construction projects as a knowledgeable worker. That's really what is going to define the workforce in the next, say, 20 to 30 years.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. An example I have, I put together a presentation, spent a lot of time putting together a presentation for one of our construction webinar series. And when I've heard about ChatGPT for a while, but when I heard about the actual applications of it and how people were using it, I decided to just put into the field the topic of my presentation, gave a little bit of details about it, and said, create a PowerPoint presentation on this. And it spit it out almost, I would say probably at least 70% of it was what I had already put together. And I'm like, this is going to make me obsolete. I don't have to be as smart, which I'm not calling myself smart, but I'm going to have to be a better presenter because anybody can put together this presentation I just did. It's like you say, you're not a knowledge person, but knowledgeable.
Eddie, there's still that 30%, right? So I guess that's kind of the thing. It's that last mile that I'm not, I'm not a techno pessimist at all, but that 30% actually matters a lot. Like, I think people are actually getting really good. If you just take that 70% and just send it to someone, people are getting pretty good at being like, hey, this is just AI generated. You know what I mean? It's got a certain feel to it. Like I said, maybe it's missing something. Maybe it just sounds really generic. But it's that other 30% about how you actually leverage it and fill in the blanks and apply it to the task at hand or whatever context, you're putting together your presentation for example. That last 30% is actually the more important piece in my mind. And I don't know that AI is going to solve that soon. I could be wrong. I'm not a techno pessimist. I think it'll get there at some point. But that last 30% really matters.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. And I'm thankful for that. Because it means I'm not obsolete. I'm not a techo pessimist either. I'm excited about it actually, but it scares the heck out of me at the same time. Do you ever lay awake at night worried that a Terminator is going to come back in time and try to take you out for some reason? I feel like if that was possible, it would have already happened by now.
There's definitely a lot of things to worry about these days. I want to say that Terminator coming back in time is probably not the top of my list, but I want to say at this point there's a non-zero chance. So thank you for giving me one more thing to worry about at night.
It's not something I sit up and think about at night either, but you never know. Never know. They made the movies for some reason. Skynet exists somewhere, and until they decide that humans are the going to be the end of the world and decide to take us out. But I think that would have already happened by now.
No, I mean, I think if we're being honest, like I said, these types of tools like large language models are really going to kind of flatten the knowledge landscape out there in the industry. And like I said earlier, I liken it, I think Excel's a perfect example. I think we've seen it before with other tools like CAD software. Before CAD, you had architects and engineers that had to basically create designs and blueprints by hand. It was time intensive. It was prone to errors. But when CAD arrived, it didn't make those rules obsolete. It made them more efficient and it enabled these architects and engineers to really iterate faster, experiment more, and kind of really push the boundaries on what was possible to design. And so I think large language models like ChatGPT are going to do something similar, but just on a broader scale. And they're just going to transform the way we communicate, analyze data, how we make decisions in real time. And it's just going to be one of these really big kind of, death by a thousand cuts type of technology where there's so many use cases and so many applications across so many functions that it actually changes the system as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was being a little facetious about the whole end of the world type scenario, but I do think that there are concerns that people get about AI and its evolution and where it's going to lead. But, it's like you say, I don't think that's the end goal, and to make life easier. I mean, that's what I've been starting to see already, and we'll make life easier and be more productive that way. So, while we're talking about that, what are some of the ethical concerns related to the adoption of AI in the construction industry? Do you see anything to be concerned about ethically?
I think it's more about responsible use as opposed to ethical use. I mean, we can get into ethics of, it's a very contractual industry. And so using something like a large language model to, get around contractual obligations or deceive others within kind of the construction value chain, I think that's an obvious one from an ethical one. But I think the bigger one is just responsible use. And I honestly, I think it goes back to the 70%, 30%, right? Because the responsible thing to do is to know that, hey, this thing isn't like 100% accurate. It's only going to get you 70% of the way there. But we need to be vigilant about how we're using the information that comes out of these large language models and making sure that we're using them in really responsible ways. because a lot can go wrong. I mean, you know, you look at something like engineering. I'm an engineer by trade. There are a lot of kind of nuanced things within engineering design that a very generic large language model is going to miss. And so I would hate for engineers to use tools like ChatGPT or even some of the, you know, Autodesk or Bentley AI tools that are coming down the line. You know, I'd hate for them to use those in ways where they just like take their brain off and set it on the desk and just like pump a design out, because there's literally lives on the line in that case. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's the responsible use, and I think that overlaps in a big way with ethical use as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you foresee any regulation coming out in those regards, even including like with safety?
You know, I think a lot of the, I've actually thought about this a bit. I've done some work with AXXL and WTW and had conversations with a lot of risk managers out there in the industry. You know, I think in the case of things like engineering design, actually, the regulatory framework already kind of exists. The legal framework exists, and it boils down to whose stamp is on that drawing, right? So, you know, if an engineer is out there and acting irresponsibly by just using these tools to just pump out designs that may or may not be correct, and they put their stamp on it, well, that engineer is, you know, potentially liable for the outcomes of the design that they put out there. So, so in a lot of cases, the regulations, I think the industry itself is somewhat self-regulating. I think there's state agencies like professional licensing that'll keep some of this in check. You know, safety is a big one. I think, you know, I would be hard pressed to find a way in which a large language model could make a job site less safe. But I imagine, you know, if a safety manager did put together something like a toolbox talk and there was just stuff that was like factually incorrect within that presentation and went out there and just gave the presentation, like that would be potentially a big one. Yeah. But yeah, I think on the whole, the industry is pretty self-regulating. And I think a lot of the systems exist to keep kind of everyone honest within that framework.
Yeah. So let's talk the future outlook of AI. I think we've already established that it's not going to be replacing jobs. It's just going to help us and let us produce more, be more efficient. But in construction, there's a big worker shortage. Do you see AI helping to fill that gap any?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, no, I do. I think it goes back to, well, I'll turn the tables on you. You know, with the Excel example, you know, you were living back in the days of, you know, paper-based accounting. Do you think Excel kind of improved things when that, you know, hit the scene? Did it make, you know, your life easier? Kind of, how did it impact the financial, how did it impact the financial world?
Well, and I will clarify that when I say paper, we were using like Excel and Word, but we would print them out, staple them to four column. That's okay. Our work paper. But, you know, we weren't too far off from that. I mean, I was in college whenever the internet came out, basically. I mean, I think about the only thing I could do was look up SEC statements on different companies on the internet at that time. So, yeah, I've seen the evolution of pre-AOL to the internet while I was in college, you know, up to being in the job force of using Excel and Word. But, you know, what that did from that point on till now, where we're using different software that will use algorithms and AI intelligence to sort data for us to make our audit testing more efficient. So yeah, I mean, I absolutely have seen how that's affected us.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think with large language models and AI, I think the bigger story here is really about that systemic change, right? And it's like, just like Excel elevated accounting and CAD elevated mm-hmm. architecture and engineering, I think AI tools like ChatGPT are going to just reshape the functional levels of construction. In a lot of ways, they'll improve productivity. They're going to enhance decision making. They're going to open up a lot of new opportunities for workers and businesses alike. So I don't think it's a zero-sum game, I guess, is my general philosophy. There's definitely a worker shortage, and I think the industry can benefit in a lot of ways from enhanced productivity. And I definitely think, at least on the field non-manual level, these large language models are going to accomplish that in a pretty big way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how do you envision the future of AI in the construction industry over the next 5 to 10 years? You know, in your opinion, like, what's the next big AI breakthrough or trend?
You know, I think we're already beginning to see it happen. So I think the first step is just going to be general adoption of and acknowledgement of tools like ChatGPT. I think, you know, having been around the industry now for the past year, presenting at a lot of conferences, talking to a lot of construction companies, obviously it's somewhat self-selecting. If you come to an AI presentation, there's a good chance you're interested in AI, or at least kind of can talk the talk and know a bit about it. But I think in general, there's three types of construction companies out there right now. You've got the folks who are, like, you know, ahead of the curve, right? Like Suffolk, Gilbane, Bechtel, Skanska. You know, they've got fully financed and fully stocked, like, technology departments that are just drilling into emerging technologies, not just AI. And so they're kind of embracing the technology in a way that I think the vast majority of construction companies don't, right? So they're kind of in a unique category. And I've actually looked at this over the past several years. I've run numbers and done kind of research on the number of construction companies that have those kind of funded departments, technology departments within their operations. And it's honestly, it's like a little less than half of the top 400 companies have something like that. So you've got those folks. And then in the other bucket, you've got a lot of construction companies that are, you know, they're kind of like curious about it. Maybe they've, you know, devoted if not a full-time resource, some kind of part-time resource from, you know, maybe an IT department or someone within operations who's really interested in technology, just kind of go explore it and maybe kick the tires on some stuff. But then I think the last one, and this is the biggest one out there in the industry, is just companies who either just kind of acknowledge it exists, but just would rather live with their head in the sand and not really address it at all. And so I think what's going to happen over time is one of two things. Either construction companies are going to transform themselves into technology companies, and those ones who have invested resources in these technology programs are really going to kind of take you know, kind of run away with the show. Or I think another option is that a technology company that is, you know, kind of AI native or technology native is going to come in and essentially replace the other construction companies. They're going to, in some way, be much more efficient in project management, in construction management, than kind of the legacy industry players are. And honestly, I can see a pretty big case for that. I think, you know, the construction industry, a lot of resources are spent on pre-construction activity, field services, and just general coordination amongst different trades and trade contractors. And I think large language models are very well suited to that kind of stuff, and could see a world where, you know, an AI native player comes in and essentially kind of disrupts the entire industry.
Yeah. So, and you talked about your three buckets. There's necessarily, I know it's somewhat has to do with size of the company too. You know, the bigger companies have more resources available to be in that top bucket or that first bucket that you talked about. But are the hurdles so big for a smaller company? Are they too big to get into this right now, or is it something that they need to scale towards?
No, I mean, I think the big thing for most the modal construction company, so the most common type of construction company out there, is, you know, somewhere in the, you know, 30 to 100 employee range, right? And I think for them, it's really just acknowledging the future. Like, this stuff is coming. It's like Mark Trednick, you know, it's like the quote I put in the report from Mark, you know, this stuff is here, it's not going away. So if your head's in the sand, you got to get your head out of the sand. That's step number one. And then step number two, you know, I think the vast majority of construction companies are just going to go with the incumbent players. They're going to go with Microsoft, or they're going to go with Viewpoint or Procore, and they're going to hitch their wagon to those guys because it's the path of least resistance. And so, you know, I think the big one is just, like, number one, acknowledging this stuff exists, And then number two, strategically identifying who those providers are that you want to spend the next 5 to 10 years working with to make sure that these tools get integrated through Microsoft Copilot or Procore Copilot or whatever AI agents come through kind of the incumbent software providers, and just be aware of it and create a culture within your company that encourages folks to experiment and try out these tools, but to do so in a responsible and reasonable way.
Mm-hmm. So someone listening to the podcast who just heard that message and gets their head out of the sand, what's the best way for them to do their due diligence and their research to get themselves into this?
Yeah, I would, I'd highly recommend, I wrote an article recently called The 3 C's Framework. So it's a strategic guide to AI and construction. And it goes through kind of the 3 kind of key things that construction companies need to consider when they're kind of putting together their AI strategy. And the C's are core strategy, compliance, and communication. So core strategy means just understanding the technology, and not at like a PhD level, but like what is a large language model kind of thing. Understand the technology, obviously understand your business, which I assume you do because it's your business. But then map that technology on your business in a way that's strategic, right? So that's number one. And the second one's compliance. So that's this kind of reasonable, responsible use of tools and establishing kind of a governance framework for project-based work that ensures that, you know, the tools are being used in responsible ways. And there's a number of ways to do this. You can appoint compliance officers. You can put together policies. You can do a lot of things. You can have third-party auditors come in to check that the AI systems are integrated properly. Things like updating legal agreements, like contracts and NDAs, like stuff like that to account for this new AI world that we live in. So that's the compliance piece. And then the third piece is, you know, you do all the compliance, you do all the core strategy, but you got to actually communicate it out to your workforce and like let folks know, hey, this change is coming and we're not going to stand in your way. But, you know, here's some new compliance procedures that we want you to follow. Here's kind of the areas we want to address with this technology. So just communicating this change to, you know, your project-based, your field-based workforce is actually, that's probably the hardest piece in construction, honestly. It's really just key for employee training and awareness and a whole host of other areas to actually get it out there and, you know, where the rubber hits the road kind of thing. So yeah, the article's called The 3 C's Framework, a strategic guide to AI and construction. Folks can obviously reach out to me, nate.fuller@placersolutions.io. I'm happy to hop on a call and we can chat through some of these things as well.
Awesome. Yeah, my hope is that someone hears this podcast or attends a conference and hears you speak or someone like you speak, and it sparks that interest and awareness, I guess is probably a better term, awareness that AI is here. It's not going away. You better get on board. And then they start edifying themselves about it and seeing how it integrates into their business. Because I believe, in my opinion, those that do that now have a leg up on those that are going to be trying to learn about it 2 years from now. I mean, that's just my 2 cents on it. But
I think there's still a pretty big learning curve, honestly. You know, yeah. I think the feedback I've gotten, and you saw the presentation I gave in Vegas, so feel free to correct me if I'm overstepping here, but you know, the presentation I give is very high level, but it's very just practical. It's like, here's what a large language model is. Here's what's changed in the past 5 years. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing magical about this. Here's what the risks are. You know, here's some use cases and applications that we've pulled together from having conversations with project engineers and field managers. So it's just, you know, really kind of, I want to say basic stuff, but I think the reason it resonates is because the industry needs just kind of that baseline understanding. And I think it's going to take another year or two before we as an industry really come to terms with all of that. And then I think at some point it's going to just kind of come out in the wash. There's going to be, like you said, there's going to be the companies that embrace it early and that are kind of off of the races. And there's going to be other ones that are just kind of maybe not left in the dust, but, you know, huffing towards the finish line till the very end and not really excelling in the way that they could.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of that work smarter, not harder
right.
mantra. Some of my takeaways from Vegas or applications were with project management and scheduling, I've seen examples where AI assists with supply sourcing, and you know, obviously we know about robotics, what AI is doing in robotics, and I've seen some videos of robotics being used on job sites for specific tasks. So yeah, I think the more people become aware of these things and how they could actually apply it to themselves, it's just going to make them, it's going to help them work smarter and not harder. And like they'll see like it did for us, you're just able to do more work. It's not taking away your work, or you're going to sit there idle because you got your work done early. You're going to be able to bid more work, do more work, and hopefully more efficient and at higher margins. Man, this has been a great conversation. I know that you have some other speaking engagements coming up. I think I actually noticed you were going to be at the AGC National Conference in Columbus in April. Is that correct?
Should be at the one in Columbus. AGC Connecticut, I'm going to be speaking at their annual meeting, and a few others here and there. Feel free to reach out. Didn't mention it, should have mentioned, you know, we have these research reports. You referenced the one that quotes Mark Trednick at Haskell, the CIO of Haskell. These research reports are really valuable resources. We went out and we interviewed and surveyed over 100 construction professionals from all over the industry, and we pulled everything together into this really comprehensive research report that's about 50 pages long. It looks at everything from value chain analysis through introduction, high level, what is the technology, you know, how does this get applied on the field, what are the risks? So a lot of the things we've been talking about today, but maybe in a little bit more depth. But the idea there is it's not just spitballing, like, you know, it's written by industry experts, and it's informed by a lot of conversations with a lot of people a lot smarter than me. So go check that out. You know, feel free to reach out. I can give discounts for it as well. That's on placersolutions.io. And feel free to reach out. Give me a call. I'm happy to hop on a call and walk you through some of the experiences I've had with technology out in the industry and the ways in which I think world-class construction companies are applying it today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd encourage everybody listening to this to go to placersolutions.io and reach out to Nate. He's a great dude to talk to. And if he said there are people 100 times smarter than him, then they're 1,000 times smarter than me. So great resource if you want to become more aware of how AI can be used to better your business. Any final thoughts, Nate, do you want to share with everybody?
No, I think, hopefully this alignment thing gets sorted out. You kind of freaked me out with the Terminator talk, but I like to stay focused on the positive sides of things. I think I see it as a net win. And I think we're smart enough. We can figure out how to navigate this stuff in a way that doesn't, involve Arnold Schwarzenegger coming back from the future.
Great. Well, there you all have it. This wraps up another episode of Constructive Conversations. Nate, thanks again. It's great talking to you. It was great listening to you out in Vegas. I hope I get to see you again. If I make it to Columbus in April for the AGC, I definitely owe you a dinner, and I'd like to hear more about it. But thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. And until next time, keep on building.